what struck me about this whole reading is that it's about the natural, in particular, what serves the natural being ordered in a way whereby the interpretation of things is more aligned with what is higher. So there were a couple of points about that. So 5.2.3.1 talks about, and put me into custody in the house of the chief of the attendants means a casting aside from what exists first and foremost in explanations or interpretations. And then it's mentioned again, 5.2.3.7, a servant of the chief of the attendants means in which there was truth that served that which came first and foremost in explanations or interpretations. And the very last statement out of that number says, and since truth is of service to explanations or interpretations, to explanations or interpretations of the word, a servant of the chief of the attendants here means truth that is of service. So what is first in explanations are these first principles that we keep referring to, or spiritual principles, principles that sit at the level of the rational, which we lose touch with often. And so one of those is this whole thing, say just taking the example that was shared through the shares, is this idea of innocence, what it is. That's the first principle, the idea of innocence being a desire to be led by the Lord. So that's the first principle, but we forget and we try to lead ourselves from our proprium. And so we have these truths in the natural mind that have to be reordered so that those first things are remembered more readily. And the means by which that restructuring takes place is what is termed temptation. So temptation is simply the best way of thinking about it, I think, from this work's perspective, is temptation is always about the strengthening of what is good and true in the natural. So and the only reasons temptations arise is because our sense of self is still invested in what is opposed to what is of the Lord. That's the only reason temptations happen. So if we could remember that as a first principle, then our approach to temptations might be a bit different. And if we remember it in the midst of it, it does actually change our state. I think we've all had that experience where we've remembered that. And I just loved that how in this reading you had that idea that thought brings presence, right? That's stated in here. And to remember the Lord is to bring the presence of the Lord. This is really about remembering what is remembering the Lord. That's the presence you want, because the Lord is innocence. He is innocence itself. He is the Lamb, like all those things that describe him. He is that innocence. And so how do we experience that innocence? Well, in this story, Joseph is also that innocence. It's the Lord, the celestial of the spiritual, making its way into the natural. Its desire is to be in the natural, because when it's in the natural, it can save us. It can save us from the pits and the hellish states and all of that kind of stuff. So we're given this description of innocence, and he appreciated the study that was done. So you get this broad view of what innocence is. The mistake is to try and be innocent. The reason that we are told about innocence is so we can recognize what is its opposite, because that's the problem. If you remember that innocence is the Lord himself, he's omnipresent. There's no issue with innocence not being available. It's fully present. The issue is our own desire to lead ourselves, or to be led from our proprium. And so as we engage with truths, we come into an understanding of what innocence is. And we are given the capacity to recognize what is not of innocence. And that is where our work lies. So when we shun what is not of innocence or what is opposed to innocence, then innocence is able to be present. And the very act of reflecting, self-examining, shunning, repentance, all of these things that we are asked to do, that is innocence at work. That's innocence working in our life. Because without that, nothing's possible. If there's no innocence at work, then nothing is possible because the Lord isn't present. And we feel like it's our life that's under threat because of our investment in those things that are opposed to the Lord, whereas in actual fact, so the presence of innocence isn't always a comfortable thing. So the statement about unless you become as children, converted and become as children, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. It's just a statement of fact. It's not saying you have to make yourself innocent because you have no capacity to do that. The only thing you have a capacity to do is to recognize and acknowledge what is opposed to that. And then the Lord takes care of the rest.